The idea for the movie Shadow Company came about when a friend of writer, producer, and director Nick Bechtanich headed to Iraq as a private security contractor. He had been studying law. The film begins with a letter he writes to friends and family.
Hi, all. In brief, for those of you who don't already know, I quit the job at the law firm and I'm now working for a private security company in Iraq. I'm on a 6-on, 3-off rotation, 6 weeks on, 3 weeks off. The contract is huge. 200 men doing close protection tasks, or PSD as the Americans call it. There are swarms of other firms of private contractors all over the place. Some complete cowboy outfits. But this one is fairly sharp, so I'm not too worried about getting killed. Besides, I've promised Debbie, Jill, Alice and Natasha that I'll come back alive. I'm currently tasked to the Baghdad office working out of a villa in the Green Zone. The Green Zone is what they call this area in the middle of the city surrounding Saddam's old presidential palaces, and it's where the CPA, sorry, that's the Coalition Provisional Authority, has set up shop. It's a massively fortified perimeter the size of a small town protected by thousands of American troops. The city on the whole was in ruins, but it doesn't seem all that dangerous right now.
Allahu Akbar!
Bechtanich filmed in Iraq in 2004. Even at that point, the number of private security companies had grown dramatically.
I was amazed. I mean, for example, in the first Gulf War, I believe the ratio is one contractor for every 100 troops. When I was looking into the information when we were making Shadow Company, the numbers were something like 1 in 10. And I believe now the numbers are something like 1 in 3. So a significant part of the U.S. war effort in Iraq is composed of the private sector.
But the exact number remains elusive. Add to the British, South African, and American companies a growing number of local security contractors.
Nowadays, there are many Iraqi companies that have sprung up. As the situation in the country, unstable as it is, continues on for a long period of time, inevitably local organizations will start to supplant outside organizations simply because they're going to be cheaper and more efficient. So there are some security companies that are strictly Iraqi run. The PSCAI, Private Security Contractor Association of Iraq, estimates there's at least one of those unregistered security contractors for every registered security contractor. Private individuals that are armed in a conflict zone that don't directly come under the authority of the military commanders, and the military commanders are not comfortable with this scenario.
But some of these security contractors work directly with the U.S. military, gathering intelligence, or the State Department acting as escorts for diplomatic personnel. Others work outside the military scope, and that raises questions about accountability.
One of the things that surprised me when I started looking into the subject is that there was no clear rule of law that applied to the security contractors in the same way as there was a clear rule of law that applies to the soldiers that are in that conflict zone. I'm not talking about the guys who are cooking the food or who are perhaps transporting a truck from point A to point B. I'm talking about the guys who are essentially trigger pullers who have to make the decision when they see a civilian vehicle approaching that could be a suicide bomber. They've got a split-second option where they have to decide, am I going to shoot this guy or not? There's a hell of a lot of responsibility to put into an individual that falls outside the straight chain of command, and on top of that, that might not have the appropriate accountability in place. What's appropriate accountability? Well, how about accountability, period.
The death toll among private contractors has reached 1,000, according to a recent report by the Reuters news agency. But even that number is impossible to confirm. Their deaths often go unreported. The biggest headline-grabbing incident involved four contractors who worked for Blackwater Security, killed in Fallujah. That was the first time many Americans, and possibly some in Congress, realized these private security workers were on the ground in such large numbers and could influence a military campaign.
There are going to be so many congressional hearings on various aspects of Iraq in the months going forward. Blackwater gets singled out quite often in these hearings. One of the reasons is it's a very visible company because the most visible incident of private military companies in Iraq to date has been the four Blackwater contractors that were killed and then their bodies desecrated in Fallujah. That was a catalyst event for a lot of people, including myself, to go, hang on a second, these guys are not soldiers. That's odd. And then the Marines are responding to this incident as though they were soldiers. That's even more odd.
In the film, the Brookings Institution's Peter Warren Singer and author Robert Pelton discuss the impact of those killings.
After Fallujah, it's an international media storm. The president says Marines got to go in there and stamp this out.
The attack that occurred in Fallujah killed about 600 Iraqis, some of them women and children. It was basically something that set off a much larger event that was very negative for the American image in Iraq.
We're not going to be able to write the history of the Iraq War without talking about Fallujah without talking about private military companies. And that's a huge difference from any prior war.
And it is a role that may grow, Bichenich believes.
What happens when the troop numbers start to decrease? If Iraq becomes essentially a fully private war, well, that sets all kinds of interesting precedents, that some of which are more troubling than others.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News.